The views and opinions expressed in this program are not necessarily those of Union Broadcasting, Inc., Hot Talk 1510 KCTE, or its employees. The host is solely responsible for the on-air content.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past.
It's a place where I met my wife and my three children were born. And to this day, I'm so proud to call KC home.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's present.
Alex with a basket catch. They're going to send the runner. His throw, a great one. Alex Gordon with a tremendous Gold Glove play.
And a show that looks at Kansas City baseball's future.
With the fifth selection of the 2012 first-year player draft, the Kansas City Royals select Kyle Zimmer.
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
And welcome into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. We're joining you a little bit late today due to some Olympic basketball game coverage, but we are here and we are ready for a full hour of Kansas City Baseball Vault. I am Jeff Herr, and I am sitting in the hosting chair for my second time now as Chris Kamler is out on assignment yet again. So I promise no three-way phone calls this time, guys. That's a promise that I make to you and especially to Shane. But as always, even though Chris may be gone, I am joined by the fantastic team that we have, Mr. Jeff Logan, Mr. Troy Olson, and the man, the myth, the legend, Michael Engel. How's everybody doing tonight?
I'm doing well, but we do get an epic live read, right? We get to take another shot at that, right?
Stay tuned for that one, actually.
The nemesis resurfaces.
Indeed. So first off, I'd like to start by thanking last week's guest, Bill Fisher. Thanks for coming on the show. He was at a Burlington Royals game doing a little scouting of some of the Royals young players, but he was generous enough to take some time out and talk to us a little bit about his time with the A's and with the Royals. We've got a great show for you this week. This week we have Joe Randa, fan favorite from the Royals. He'll be joining us in the second segment. He had a couple tours of duty with the Royals, and he split time a little bit, had a little gap in between there where
Pittsburgh,
he played for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Played for the Mets a little bit later.
Played for the Mets a little bit later as well. So he'll be joining us in the second segment. Let's talk about this week. Kind of actually a semi-exciting week here for the Royals. We had the trade deadline on the 31st. And believe it or not, the Royals actually made a move that most people, if I'm not mistaken, are actually pretty happy with. I would consider myself in that category. Michael, Troy, Jeff, what do you guys think?
Nationally and locally, it was really well received. I actually was kind of down on it at first when I had just heard it was the Double-A guy. And then the news came out that not only did we get one, we got two guys. We got one from each level, and everybody's like, see, nobody major league ready. But, and I'm sorry, I'm trying to pull up the sheet here, but I forget the gentleman's name that was the AAA guy.
That is Donnie Joseph.
Donnie Joseph.
Left-handed pitcher.
Was actually said by Kevin Goldstein. He said he'd rather have Joseph in the Major League bullpen today.
I was going to mention that.
Than Broxton. So, I mean, if he says that it's that good, then it must be a good deal.
And if for any of you that listen to our show or the Royal Man Report, you know that we and all of you, if there's any opinion that you should value, Kevin Goldstein is one of them because the man knows what he's talking about.
He does.
He knows his players. He's very good when it comes to scouting and determining. So if he makes a comment like that, then I'm pretty inclined to believe it. So it kind of makes me feel good that Rose did a little bit of something. I mean, a little bit of something well there. What do you think about the other player, Michael? What do you know about him?
The other player is one Carlos Solbaron, and he actually went to high school with Eric Hosmer. They were on the same high school team. I believe they won the state championship. He's a right-handed pitcher. He's got good stuff, and I know that's kind of a nice buzzword, and it, you know, is a nice way of sometimes saying that he doesn't have a lot of command of it, but you know, he does have the upside of being a number three starter at the major leagues. He's pitching in Double-A now.
Wasn't he averaging something like nine strikeouts?
Yeah,
per,
like
per
nine and a half
or something
like that.
So
yeah.
Some good numbers there.
Like Kyle Davies stuff, you're saying.
No. Kyle Davies never had that stuff.
Yeah, he had stuff, you know.
He had stuff.
I don't just ever see stuff. A problem with the trade when you really don't give up anything. We didn't give up anything to get Broxton.
Right.
So we bring him in as a free agent, and we trade him and get two pretty decent players. That's not a bad deal.
It's house money. I mean, if he doesn't do anything this year, you're out $4 million in a year of time, whatever. But what they did, I mean, they turned him into two prospects. And, you know, these aren't just filler guys. It's not like going out and getting Sean O'Sullivan or Vin Mazzaro or those guys. These guys were ranked in the top 30 of the Red System by Baseball America before the year. And they're pretty well regarded. They're both guys who, you know, Moore, we're probably going to see him in September, if not sooner. Solbaron, he'll be added to the 40-man this offseason, I'm sure, because he'd be eligible for the Rule 5 draft otherwise. But he's going to be a part of, you know, the 40-man roster. And, you know, he's maybe a year and a half from hitting Kansas City at some point.
And then we have the, I guess you could call it a plus, of people have been wanting to see for a while if someone like a Greg Holland could come into the closer role and actually be as good as he is as the setup man, or just as in his relief appearances. And he's already had one chance. Even the 2 days since Broxton been gone, he's had one chance. It was last night, and did pretty well.
I didn't like that close. It wasn't exciting at all.
It was not
a Broxton close.
No one walked. You mean we didn't have 2 or 3 walks? A couple wild pitches.
It's not a real save till there's somebody on third base. Not to mention that they put him there, but nevertheless.
Are you saying that's a new stat for the Royals?
Was anybody else annoyed that Broxton's first appearance for the Reds was a 1-2-3?
Yeah. Well, that's the National League for you. I mean, that's what you're looking at there.
That I did not realize, but thank you for bringing that.
I think that's his sixth 1-2-3 inning all year, and it's like his 36th appearance.
I didn't see it. What inning did he pitch in?
8th inning.
And I think the role is going to be better for him too. I don't think he's got the closer mentality anymore. He's definitely not the all-star, you know, MVP candidate that he was once upon a time.
There is no such thing as the closer mentality.
Oh, I totally disagree with that.
If you're good, you're good.
I totally disagree with that.
I actually agree with that. But if there is something to be said for this closer mentality or not, then in all fairness to Broxton, he was brought into the season thinking he was going to be the setup guy. And I don't know if that changes your preparation. I'm inclined to say that it does not. But if it does, then that could have had some sort of effect on him. But I don't know if I buy into that. I'm kind of with you, Michael. I agree with you.
I'm gonna get a good example.
Here's his closer's mentality and why he didn't have it this year, because he didn't strike out 12 guys per 9 innings like he did when he was in LA. That's the difference.
I feel like if there is an example of the closer mentality and someone not having it, I believe his name was Juan Cruz. Is that who he had a few years ago?
Yeah.
And he was just a really great setup man. And then we tried him in the closer role a couple times and just flamed out.
Well,
did
and
not
it's
do
it's
anything.
Tough. I mean, is
so
it,
it's also difference of, I don't know. There's I guess you could call it a high leverage situation, but
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know that there's much to
there's
that.
There's definitely.
I
though,
think it's
when
kind
something's
of like
on
the clutch.
Line. When it's on the line, I remember Mike McDougal, how good he would look at times. He'd come in the middle of games and he'd just be throwing strike after strike, 95 miles an hour. They made him the closer, and everything was about 3 feet over the head of everybody. So
it's similar to the clutch hitting element, where it's not something you can necessarily quantify or easily see. So, you know, will we ever be able to evaluate if that's the case, and if maybe just Broxton didn't have it, or so and so didn't have it, or something? Who knows?
Know.
But
still a great trade.
Anyway,
great trade.
You get Greg Holland. You know, I think he's going to do well. He's had some command problems this year. Some of those are injury related from earlier in the year. Some of them are not. You know, I think it's just last year he gave up, I think, about 5.5 hits per 9 innings. No pitcher is going to sustain that in the next season after a year like that. So, but he's got good stuff. You know, mid-90s fastball, good curveball. Change up. I mean, he's got 3 to 4 pitches before this season. There was talk about maybe he might be a guy you think about making a starter at some point.
Yeah, and you know, to maybe that trade did some sort of galvanizing of positive feelings in the Royals clubhouse that
maybe,
I don't know, maybe it was the sitting of Jeff Francoeur, but they have, don't look now, but the Royals are one win away from sweeping the Cleveland Indians for the first time, if I'm not mistaken. For the first time, and I believe it's 6 years.
Six years.
That right? Sweeping. Can you believe that, by the way? The Cleveland Indians, the Royals have not swept them. And just not a season series or anything like that. Just a 3-game series in 6 years. Seems hard for me to believe.
The
but
Royals,
then again, nothing's hard for me to believe with the Royals.
So did the Royals really try to trade Francoeur, or is this just talk?
They probably called people about him, but if you're looking at a guy who's hitting 240, doesn't have the range that he had last year and is still going to be making $7.5 million next year, are you going to give anything for him?
No, but you know, I looked at his stats this week, and he's got a long history of having a really good year
and then
followed
nothing.
By a bad year.
Yeah,
and good year, bad year, good year, bad year. So, which means they're probably trying to keep him for his good year next year.
Yeah.
And how about that, Jeff Logan taking to the stats this week to look up some Jeff knowledge.
It was so bizarre.
We're gonna wear you down yet, Jeff. You're gonna be a stat guy by the end of this.
Because I want to know, who has he ever really been good? And I looked, and it was
2005.
Just by the book, good and bad years.
His first 2 years, I believe, he was good.
Yeah.
And then after that, he's kind of had that up and down that you've talked about.
Just
bad year, good year. And
it
usually actually seems to coincide with a switch in teams. So even if it's a mid-season thing,
yeah,
he'll switch and have a good month.
He had a
after
good
switch,
month and a half in postseason with the Rangers in,
for whatever,
in 2010.
And maybe he just gets bored. You know, maybe he's got such a good demeanor that people don't even realize that he gets bored with being in one place for long enough.
Maybe.
It's his own fan section. What can you say?
Yeah, I mean, if anybody's been treated well by a fan base, Jeff Francoeur has been treated well, deservedly so last year and undeservedly so this year,
right,
by the Royals fan base. So that's kind of what's been going on with the Royals this week. But Jeff, why don't you give us a little bit of an update on the Kansas City Baseball Historical Society and what you guys have going on in this month?
Well, let's see. We have the August 23rd event with Joe Randa. Joe Randa is going to be our guest that night. We've never had Joe in. I'm not sure. Do you guys ever see Joe out at events? I never see him at Royals alumni stuff. I don't see him out much.
I hope he... I don't think he'll remember this, but I saw Joe Randa opening day, not last year, but I think it was the year before, when I was totally not in my best mindset. And I vaguely remember taking the picture. Like, I went through the pictures the next day, and I was like, that guy looks really familiar. Oh, my God, that's Joe Randa. I met Joe Randa. I don't remember meeting Joe Randa. When did I meet Joe Randa? And so I was a mess. But, yeah, I saw him out at opening day that year. He was just walking around, cruising the stands.
We'll have a big turnout for that event on the 23rd. It'd be down at the flea market again. With we had so many new members from FanFest that we expect about 180 mm-hmm. people to show up for this one. So, Randa, like I say, you never see him, you never see him. And then, he's been real gracious to come to our event and be on our radio show and a little bit surprising.
Well, yeah, we look forward to having him on in the next segment here. But
I jump back? The guy that I was trying to remember, Octavio Dotel, one of the greatest setup men in history, never was worth a snot as a closer.
Okay, you have one example.
But there's others here, too. I mean, LaTroy Hawkins, they even have, on this list that I actually found, Jonathan Broxton makes this list as guys that have the setup mentality but are not good closers anymore.
He was a good closer in 2009 and 2010. I think that's a little crazy.
Arthur Rhodes. Joel Zamaya. There's guys. They're out there. The closer mentality
is
a real thing.
Is
I'm sticking my ground on this.
Is it possible that they're just
not good?
I'm with you,
Troy. Don't worry.
They were good setup men, though. What makes them not good in the eighth inning? What makes their stats not good in the eighth inning? If they had those same stats in the ninth, they would be great closers, but they can't do it in the ninth. Therefore, they don't have the closer mentality.
How do you grade a closer's mentality?
That's the
question. Ideally, they would close and close the game, and those guys don't do that very well.
Well, what about Kyle Farnsworth?
He didn't. Well, that's a good one.
What did he do last year?
In Tampa, he did all of a sudden seem to find it, but he never had it here.
So they must have a coaching session down there. Maybe they have a Zen garden.
Well,
it's hard to believe the Tampa Bay Rays do something right that the Royals don't.
Right, it's true.
That's just, I find that hard to believe.
Even the Yankees didn't do it right.
The thing is, Tampa Bay is super special. Just ask him. They got the aura of David Price down there. That's all the more they need.
It's lack of long toss. That's what it is.
Don't you get me started, Jeff.
Poke the bear.
You know better.
I was watching that on who was the pitcher I was watching the other day? Warren Spahn said I was watching his special and he said I always did long toss. The coaches begged me not to do it. They said it was bad for me. And I think he won 362 games in his career. Never missed a season. Never missed a game. And he says that's how he kept his arm in shape.
He pitched till he was like 45, didn't he?
45 or 46. Yeah.
Yeah, he was
long toss.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. So with that, I think we're going to head off to break here, and then when we return, we'll have with us Joe Randa. Maybe? I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully, we'll have Joe Randa.
If not, we'll have him soon. If not, we'll be talking more Royals.
We'll have him later in the show.
If not, this has all been a joke.
Yes, we've got plenty to talk about if we don't have him. So we'll see you. We'll see you back on the other side here.
The Kansas City Baseball Vault will be right back after these messages.
May all your good fortunes be as numerous as blades of grass and then some.
The Vault.
The Brad Westmar Show with your host, Brad Westmar.
We had a great time with your wife, Matt, and we were glad to have Stacey on.
No, that wasn't what I meant.
And co-host Jared Afkar plus Magic Matt.
I was trying to put together a little trip for us this summer, and I was asking her about going to a concert, and she's like, you know, I think I'd just rather go see a Royals game.
Wow.
That's sick. That's mentally off the reservation.
All right, Jared.
It's radio like you've never heard before.
Very sad.
That's what I hear.
Download the latest episode of The Brad Westmar Show at bradwestmar.com.
T-Bones Baseball, celebrating 10 years of fun well done. Bring the whole family out for sizzling action this summer at Community America Ballpark, where parking is always free and tickets start at just $6.50. Kids eat free Monday. Great giveaways and 20-ounce beers on Tuesday. Dollar hot dogs and post-game catch on the field Wednesday. Dollar beer Thursday. Falcons skydivers on Friday. Post-game fireworks on Saturday. Pre-game player autographs and post-game kids run the bases on Sunday. Follow the T-Bones on Facebook for up-to-the-minute promotions and game day events. Group tickets, party decks, and nightly suites available. Get your tickets at the box office. Any Community America branch. Call 913-328-5618 or purchase and print your tickets at tbonesbaseball.com.
Join the T-Bones as they return to Kansas City on August 14th to welcome the Lincoln Salt Dogs. T-Bones Baseball, that is fun. Well done. And welcome back into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. And we're still trying to get a hold of Joe Randa. I understand he is at his son's baseball game practice. So he's probably busy with that. And he is expecting our phone call, so hopefully we'll be able to get a hold of him here. But we've still got plenty of baseball stuff to talk about in this next segment. Something we didn't have time to get to because Troy was ranting about closer's mentality in the first segment was the Kansas City baseball around the horn. So, Michael, why don't you take us away and give us a little bit of baseball update around for Kansas City.
Yeah, and the T-Bones right now, they're still doing well. 39-32 is their overall record. They are three games behind Wichita, still chasing the Wing Nuts. Every week it seems like they're still chasing them, but they're closing ground. 6-4 in their last 10. Omaha is running away with it still. Will Myers had a little bit of a slump. People kind of started to panic. Some of the Francoeur defenders were pointing, laughing, and saying, okay, how good is this kid now? And since he's hit about three homers, giving him 33 on the year, 20 at Omaha, he's hitting .297 down there.
Here's a quick question.
Yeah.
If he hits 37 home runs and breaks the Royals record, does it count?
Do we count that?
Minors?
No, and you know, I'll jump in there. I don't know. Giovatella's struggling too, isn't he?
Oh yeah, he's only hitting like .390.
Yeah, I know.
Something like that. What a bum.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard he had like six RBIs one night, didn't he?
It was last night, yeah. Yeah.
Did I just steal that from you? Sorry.
No, that's fine. So, you know, you've got Giovatella hitting the ball just like he was last summer. Unieski Betancourt still at second base.
Chris Getz,
yeah. All credit to Chris Getz.
300 batting average. I mean, doesn't suck.
He's been hitting the ball. Let's keep going in the minors, though, because I don't want to talk about Chris Getz. Yordano Ventura in Northwest Arkansas, he left his last start early. They were looking at his hand. It's not anything really significant. It's just a blister is what they're saying. Hopefully it's not a Jeremy Affeldt type of blister. You know, if you remember Jeremy Affeldt from 2005 and whatnot, really good stuff when he was healthy, but he always had a blister. So hopefully Ventura can rebound quickly.
They finally sawed his whole nail off, didn't they? His whole fingernail just to do away with the blister?
They did something weird.
Yeah, that's what they did. Because the irritation was getting it to flare up. It was like ingrown, so they just wiped it out. And now he's carved out a pretty decent career as a middle reliever. Down in Wilmington, Jason Adams has been pitching well, and you guys talked to him on the
friend of the show, Jason Adams.
Yeah, cover that. The Royal Man Report talked to Jason Adams.
Troy, why don't you tell us a little bit about what he said this week?
Well, you know, the thing about Jason is he's always very open. We talked to Jason because, once again, he's up in trade rumors, and Jason's been on the show with the Royal Man Report about five times. So if you go to royalmanreport.com, just search for his name, you'll find him throughout Mike's listings. And in fact, we did one show where we put a new interview and then we backed it with an old interview. Listen to some of the old ones and you can hear how this kid has grown in just a couple of years. And we talked to him last year about being in the trade talks, and he wants to be a Kansas City Royal. I mean, he grew up here. He grew up in Kansas City. He wants to be a Royal. That's what he's all about. But he talked about that. He did give us a little update on Bubba Starling as well, which you're going to get to here in a minute. Mm-hmm. And he talked about that he'd love to be a Royal, but hey, you know, being traded's part of it. And he doesn't ever hear anything. He hears more on Twitter than he does from anybody else because they're not going to call him and say, hey, we're talking to Texas about trading you to the Rangers for whoever. But he has been talked about in trade talks, which he likes because that means he's a valuable commodity and that's what he expects. He wants to be a good enough player that people want him on his team. Of course, it would mean more to him to be a Kansas City Royal than to be anything else. But it was also fun, if you go back and listen to that episode, to talk to him as the Royals fan and to hear not only how much it hurts to watch his employer struggle, but to watch his home team struggle as well. And so it's a really enlightening interview. And then, of course, he talks about Lane Adams now joining him, his best friends now joining him at the Wilmington level. And we also talked about if Brooks Pounders could temporarily replace Bubba Starling as the third member of the tripod.
I would think so. I mean, Brooks Pound, if he wants to.
He gave him the thumbs up on that.
I feel like he would be a base of the tripod.
Right. You don't argue with a guy named Pounders.
No, you just do not.
That's a great name. But I do have a question for Mike, though, because for baseball fans out there that might not know, with Cliff Lee being released this afternoon.
He wasn't released.
Was it
they placed him on waivers.
Like every other player.
I'm glad you brought this up. July 31st was the trade deadline. Please tell us the difference. The non-waiver trade deadline. Now, from August until the end of the year, teams are going to place just about everybody on waivers. But the rule is they can pull them back. If somebody claims them, they can pull them back. If a team claims a player that's on waivers, they can still work out a trade. If they clear waivers, they can trade them to anybody. So that's kind of how it works. The process, you know, you put them on waivers. If nobody claims them after 3 days, they've cleared waivers. You can trade them anytime. And, you know, that's why they'll put some of those guys
on. That's why
there.
I went to you, because I was saying if the Royals picked him up.
Oh, yeah.
Just can't get him.
Yeah.
They're going to have to give something up to get him, you're saying.
Yeah. The Phillies would be looking to get something for him because they still want to keep him. They still have him signed long term.
Coach Haver?
And,
yeah.
Some salary?
Theoretically, here, what you could do if you were someone like the Royals, you could. What they call block him from going somewhere else, where if you're higher than somebody else on the waiver claim, you put in a claim for a Cliff Lee,
mm-hmm.
then the Phillies either have to work out a deal with you or pull him back to the squad.
And they can't.
And then they can't go to somebody else
waivers.
After you.
And we have to be pretty high up the list, I would think.
Yeah, it goes by record.
So, yes.
It goes by.
Is it current record or previous year's record? Because I know in the NFL, I believe it's previous year's record.
It's current
the
year.
The previous year is a tiebreaker.
Okay.
Either way, we're good.
Yeah, the current year, the Royals would be second. But then again, that's usually probably a move you would do if you're trying to keep it from someone who's contending to beat you for the division.
A lot
and
of
that
times.
Went bye-bye to the Royals about a month ago. So.
Yeah, like Terry Mulholland is a guy I remember somewhere in like 96. I think the Braves, I think it was the Giants claimed him so that another team couldn't get him. And he ended up being, you know, in the playoff hunt for that team instead of the team that, you know, the Braves. I think it was the Braves. Maybe it was 93. I don't remember what year it was. But... yeah, it's a big distinction, and most of the time, everybody ends up on waivers just because you get them through now. Usually, it's guys with big contracts. If they clear, you know, great, you can trade them to whoever you want if you can work it out. If somebody claims them, you know, there have been times where somebody has a really big contract. I think it was Billy Wagner or I think
you're right.
Guys. It was Randy Myers. That's who it was. Big contract. Somebody claimed him. Thinking, okay, we'll just put in a claim. And I think it was the Reds or the Padres, and they made the other team keep him and take on the contract. So, you know, that's kind of what you run into. But it's a little more complicated than just the regular trade deadline.
A double-edged sword.
And then Cliff Lee has no say in this. So let's say the Yankees claim him, who he's not wanted to go to for years.
Yeah.
And the Phillies put up no resistance to that. They can just claim him and eat the salary?
Yeah.
No trade clauses don't play into that?
Because
I think Lee has one, doesn't he? That's, I think,
that probably does play into something like that. But, but if they were to work out a trade and he didn't agree to it, he could block it in that case. Similar to what Ryan Dempster did in the trade to the Braves. He just wouldn't give it up. So
you're saying he's not going to be a Royal?
No.
Okay.
No, not at $75 million.
That's some certainty right there.
Yeah.
So we Troy kind of alluded to a little bit of an update on Bubba Starling. Michael, why don't you give us an update?
Bubba
on how he's
Starling
doing.
Is sitting at 5 home runs on the year. He's hitting .275. He's stolen 5 bases. Has not been caught stealing. And I think he's gotten a couple of guys out at the plate with throws. So, you know, so far the reviews are really good. You know, it took a while to get him into action. He had some injuries and he had just general rust to work out. But now that he's playing every day. He's doing really well. And, you know, every day that he plays well, it adds a little more to that potential that he could reach that ceiling, which he could be a Mike Trout kind of player. He could be a Josh Hamilton kind of player.
So he's hitting home runs. Yep. He's throwing guys out at home, but is he throwing $100 bills into the crowd and an all-around good guy?
I'm sure he's an all-around good guy. He has the money to throw the $100 bills if
he
wanted.
He must not be MLB ready.
He needs to throw $100 my way so I can pay my bet that I owe to right. Chris.
Is there somebody throwing $100 bills?
That was Francoeur.
He did.
Francoeur. Yeah, he threw a bacon-wrapped $100 bill. I think it was.
I don't think it was bacon.
Wouldn't even tell our fans.
And into the Oakland fans for a promotion. Just go look it up. It's a.
I mean, I'll be there tomorrow night if you think he's going to be throwing hundreds.
He's done it
early.
Twice, and I think both times it's been in Oakland. I think he did something here once, but he's done some stuff for fans here, especially the French Quarter and stuff. But that's neither here nor there. Back to Mike.
Yep, that's Kyle Zimmer is another guy. He's in Kane County now. I think it was last week was his first Kane County start, and he pitched really well. His second one was a little more rough, but overall he's thrown 9 innings, given up only 2 runs, I believe. So he's doing really well, and that's really good to see because, you know, it's just like any other draft pick. If you actually get that guy into the games and he's performing well, you know, it's all the better next year. And the goal is to get him into Wilmington for next year so that, you know, maybe he's about 2 years away from the majors.
I think as a college guy, you would want to do about half a season at each level, depending on how he performs, so that you could get him up here in 2.5 to 3 years, I think would be, yeah. I think is what the most major league teams try to do now. According to Bill Fisher, it takes 17 years to get a player from single A to the majors. So
see, I think you're right. I think he's going to move pretty quick until he gets to about double A, and then I think you just kind of you wait and let him
you
earn
see how he reacts to it.
Because a lot of sometimes if you look at some of those more advanced players, and maybe you'll go back and look at how they fared in high A ball or something like that, and their stats don't jump out at you or anything, and it's because they pretty much know they just have to get them acclimated. You know, it's
get them into game speed, get them used to being professional. And get them geared to the program that your system has.
It's like underwater diving. Am I right? You can't go straight all the way to the top. You gotta slowly get used to acclimate yourself at each level and then get to the surface. Otherwise, you I believe they call it the bends is the disease. It's a little education for you.
That is a gold medal reference right there.
That is a little education for you on the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
Jeff's like, give me this.
Which, no, I am proud to give a little bit of education there on to people. When it, you know, because we're not just about baseball. We have other interests as well. So
we do.
Not that I'm a diver at all, but no. I do have a little.
Hey, just a little note. If there's going to be any records broken at AAA, not Royals records, but just records in general, Myers is going to have to spend the entire season, what's remaining of the season there, and really start crashing some runs. Ron Kittle hit 50 home runs for the Pacific League.
Ron Kittle
for Edmonton in 1982. He was 24 years old. In 472 at-bats in the Pacific Coast League, he hit 50 home runs. So there's your minor AAA Pacific Coast League record.
That's crazy.
That's a lot of home runs. That is impressive. 50. I mean, that's a lot of home runs anyway.
Period. Right.
Let alone the minors.
Hello.
So.
No, Joe. I did see some reference to Joe Vitiello, but I don't see it now. But you know, there's 3 AAA leagues, and the American Association, Wichita holds the record there with 46, and the International League is Phil Hyatt with 42 in Toledo in 96. Whatever happened to that guy?
Phil Hyatt bounced around the Padres and Astros a few times, I think. He was a Royal for a couple years, his first year or so.
What about the hammer?
But I couldn't see anything where it was like
coaching somewhere.
Yeah, I couldn't see anything where it was like an overall. You know, they jumped levels in the middle of the season or whatever, but hit this many home runs, so they're considered, you know, the minor league home run record.
And I know that Mike Moustakas hit hit 36, I believe, combined between Double A and Triple
38.
A. And
in modern, 38? He tied with Mark Trumbo that year.
Was it okay?
In modern baseball, Ron Kittles is the most at any level, at any individual level. Now, before modern baseball, all time, Joe Hauser hit 69 for the Double A American Association in 1933 in Minneapolis. There's your worthless trivia of the day.
There's your history part of the Kansas City Baseball Vault. And with that, we're going to take it to our second break, and then we'll be back on the other side, maybe with Joe Randa, but
we're
maybe not. If not, we're still trying to get a hold of him, but we still have plenty to talk about if he's not here. So we'll see you when we come back.
The Kansas City Baseball Vault will be right back after these messages.
Blasted to center. Back goes Rasmus. Grand slam, Mike Moustakas.
The Vault.
It's hard to find quality work at reasonable prices for all your home repair needs. With Kermsey Construction, we can give you 100% satisfaction guaranteed. We are licensed and insured. With 30 years of experience, we give free estimates and are Log Home certified. Call Kermsey Construction at 816-419-4232. Serving Jackson County and all surrounding areas. 816-419-4232. If it has to do with your home, we can fix it.
Medical bills can really burn a hole in your pocket. I'm Ray Van Emmen, and I'm here for all of your senior healthcare needs. I'm a senior healthcare specialist, LLC, for Medicare, long-term care, life insurance, and annuities. Call Ray at 913-449-6508. Being a senior healthcare specialist, I'm a licensed insurance company in Kansas and Missouri with professional certifications. I can help you get through your retirement years. Call 913-449-6508 today. I work for you.
And welcome back into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. I'm your host, Jeff Herr, and we were trying to get hold of Joe Randa, but I think that has flown the coop on that idea, so I don't know if we're going to be able to get him for this show, but we still have plenty to talk about with you here. And before we get to our next couple topics, I want to say this segment is sponsored by Senior Healthcare Specialists. For all your senior healthcare needs, as well as getting through those retirement years, call Ray, you just heard him on the commercial, at 913-449-6508. They specialize in Medicare, long-term care, life insurance, and annuities, and are Kansas and Missouri licensed insurance professionals. They're a great sponsor to us. We're happy to have them as a sponsor. Call Ray Van Emmen, 913-449-6508. So we aren't going to be able to get Joe Randa on the phone, but we do have an interesting topic to talk about with him based on his time with the Royals. And he's quite of a fan favorite, I would say. Lots of people really like him, really liked him when he was here, still do. The question is, does Joe Randa belong in the Royals Hall of Fame?
Yes.
It's tough. Because, you know, he's a guy who on those teams, 99, 2000, you know, those were definitely Johnny Damon, Jermaine Dye, Carlos Beltran teams. He was a very good supplemental player and role player. If people are questioning if someone like Johnny Damon should be in the Hall of Fame, I think that really lightens Joe Randa's case.
I keep pushing for Greg Pryor, but that's just me.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen, Jeff.
Well, I'm trying.
Yeah.
Greg, I'm trying out there, okay?
If you look at it, 86 homers as a Royal, 1,000 hits as a Royal in 8 years, hit .288, .768 OPS. You know, good numbers, solid numbers. He was, you know, like I said, he was in some of those good years where there was actual potential. You know, just the pitching never came around. So I wonder if some of that is going to chase him as well. I would say if I had to vote and it wasn't something where I was limited in how many players I could vote in, sure. But if I only get to choose, say, two, then it's a little tricky.
I mean, you know, I talked to Kurt Nelson about this exact thing. I said, you know, what are we going to do when there's no one left? You know, and he says, well, we're not going to elect people. He says there could be years and we could skip 2 to 3 to 4 years without electing anyone to the Hall of Fame. So,
well, you notice they're doing them one at a time.
Yeah, I mean...
You don't want to throw Mike Sweeney and Ken Harvey at the same time.
I think they went 2 years. I think Art Stewart was in, like, 08, and then they didn't have anybody until Apier last year.
I believe you're right. Right. And then
sounds right.
Sweeney's probably going to be in the Hall of Fame, and then
Sweeney absolutely deserves it.
Name some other guys.
And you know what? I think that's the way it should be, honestly. You know, that's what I kind of kind of goes back to my feelings on the MLB All-Star game where every team has to have a representative. I don't buy that. I don't like that rule. You know, if you don't earn it, then you don't get it. The Chiefs have had years where they didn't have anybody sent to the Pro Bowl. You know, I mean, nobody cried about it. I mean, you're probably going to say, oh, well, so-and-so should have deserved it. Everybody thinks that their players are the best. But, you know, you need to be deserving. And I think that's what the ultimate
argument comes down to. Well, no one deserved the Pro Bowl this year, so it doesn't matter.
Well,
that was a mess. But you're right. I mean, I've never understood why you have to have someone go to the All-Star game when you're not that good.
Mm-hmm.
And look at some of our – was it Browning? Didn't we have Browning go 1 year?
I'm not
sure. I don't know. We've had some bad years.
We've had some bad years.
Mark Redman.
I mean, he's probably the worst.
Redman is who I was trying to think
of. Kurt Stillwell in 1988.
And Ken Harvey actually deserved it the first half of that year.
I think he did.
But, you know, I think it's not the same exact scenario, but I think the same logic applies when you're looking at the Royals Hall of Fame. You can't just say, have a group of name. Okay, these people are eligible. We have to elect somebody.
Yeah, we got
to
put them in.
You don't have to do anything.
Right.
You can wait and do what you want to do. So that's what I think the approach really, and I'm glad to hear that's what Kurt Nelson said, who we've had on this show. And
well, I submitted my name, and that's when he told me that there's not going to be someone every
year.
Not
going to be somebody every year.
Yeah.
So then if say Joe Randa is not in or whatever, who's the next Royals player that you would say that would be in? Maybe call it, you know, from a like our lifetime, a current last 10, 15 years or so.
Nobody.
I mean, Mike Sweeney's an obvious one, I got to think.
Sweeney, yeah.
You look at Carlos Beltran. I mean, he spent 6 years here. It wasn't his entire career, but he himself said his heart's always going to be here. He more or less thinks of himself as a Royal.
He's got to retire first.
I mean, he's got to retire first, of course, but, I mean, there's nobody else, I mean, even worth that is retired or would be retired.
His heart is here, just his paycheck left town.
Exactly. Yeah.
The 2013 Royals Hall of Fame will be during the Cardinals game so that Carlos Beltran in his Cardinals red can be put into the Royals Hall of Fame.
I mean,
that's good stuff.
If you go back, maybe Danny Tartable. I don't think he's ever really gotten the credit he deserves. I mean, he hit 30 homers two or three times for the Royals. He was one of the best run producers in baseball for a time.
He's just disappeared. Where is Danny
Tartable? I don't know.
That's a good question.
I mean, he's gone.
I do not know. I mean, it's so tough because there's those lean years from 03 to still continuing where there's not really that many great players that have come through. And the ones that did come around are guys like Damon and Beltran, who you know, we traded away.
And really, Jermaine Dye's best years weren't in Kansas City.
No, they're in Chicago.
No, they were in Chicago, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I've heard people say, what about Jermaine Dye? And I was like, well, he was a good player here.
Yeah.
And,
well, he won a gold glove here.
And there was.
He had 30 homers 1 year.
There was always the question.
All-star starter.
And there was always the question, too, where people, I saw it either this year or last, earlier this year or last, people talk about Johnny Damon possibly going into the Hall of Fame and the legitimate baseball
the
Hall
National
of Fame, not the Royals Hall of Fame. And the question of is they always ask, well, who would you go in? And he's been on, I don't know how many teams, six teams or so. And he said that he's been with, Kansas City, Oakland, Boston, New York,
Cleveland,
Tampa Bay, and now Cleveland.
Detroit,
so seven. But people have said, you know, who would you go, what team would you go in as? And he said, well, I think my best years was with the Royals. I probably would go in as a Royal. And I don't know if maybe that was just an off-the-cuff remark.
Six years with the Royals and four years with everybody else.
If he thinks of himself as going into the Hall of Fame as a Royal, if that were to happen, which we know it's definitely borderline, but well, then does that mean, well, he most certainly should be eligible for the Royals Hall of Fame? I mean, he's obviously eligible, but most certainly should be a legitimate candidate.
Chris Kamler, he tapped into my head, sent me a message telepathically and said, Bo Jackson.
You stole mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well I'm just reading what I get here on the screen.
It's nice to know all these players think so fondly of us when they leave us, you know?
Yeah,
That's amazing.
Well, I think it just goes back to a lot of the stuff we were hearing from the national media after the All-Star game. You know, this is a great town. We love our baseball. We treat our players well. You know, I mean, look at just Jeff Francoeur. He does not, especially this year, does not deserve to have the fan adoration that he has. And obviously, a lot of them have started to turn on him a little bit, just due to his play, but there's still a lot of people out there that will stick up for Jeff Francoeur. You know, our fans are dedicated and they're loyal, so there's no reason for people not to love being here. So it makes sense in that respect.
The company I work for is an international company, and part of our training process is we bring people from our other offices over here to the U.S. to Shawnee and train them here, to up-train them here so that they can help the rest of the world get up to speed with us. I had one from the Netherlands and one from Hungary here in town, and I took them to their very first baseball game last night. And if you follow me on Twitter at Casey Royal Man, I was kind of tweeting, you know, now we're explaining balls and strikes, and then of course Cleveland has to go and get a balk, so I had to explain that. And so I was explaining little things about baseball, but while we were sitting there talking, the one thing that they both said was they have never been somewhere where people are so friendly as they have in the time that they have spent in Kansas City. And I think that says a lot about us as a city. I think it says a lot about us as an area. I think until you get to Chicago, you really get a true Midwest feel of everything in between. And then they're kind of more of a coastal city. But, you know, I have always said that Kansas City is the biggest small town in America. It's got a real small town attitude. You don't really get that in St. Louis. And nothing against St. Louis. I like St. Louis. It's a fine city.
I do not.
But, I mean, I do. I do like St. Louis. I don't really care for their sports teams necessarily, but I like St. Louis. It's a fine city. But it's a big city, and they want to have a big city attitude. And so what if people think we're a cow town or whatever? We're good people here. And that means a lot more to me than what the national media thinks about us booing Robinson Cano, because we know that we're good people, and they know we're good people. So I think that says a lot about the people in the city, and that's why people enjoy, you know, while they do play here, they're just going to go get paid, and you really can't blame people for that either.
Absolutely.
Here's a stat. Joe Randa, 7th all-time in base hits in Royals history. That's more than David DeJesus. Could be another candidate. That's more than Carlos Beltran and Johnny Damon. That's more than Cookie Rojas. More than John Mayberry, more than Kevin Seitzer, another candidate. You know, that strengthens it for me.
I mean, there's definitely me as well. I was not aware of that. I mean, there's definitely a resume.
Good career, and
there's definitely
really
a resume.
I don't remember it, but maybe, you know, after we've said all this, how Dye, Damon, and Beltran love Kansas City, maybe they all could be inducted into the Hall of Fame one evening. Here in Kansas
Wouldn't
City.
That be something special?
That would be
the outfield that got away.
A little painful.
Yes. I know we're getting ready to go to break, but just before we go to break, Candler wants to know, if Mr. Glass passes away, do you put him in the Royals Hall of Fame? Because he kept the team in Kansas City.
Yes.
How close were they to really leaving, though? I mean, honestly, you know how hard it is to actually move a professional sports team?
I don't know. Ask Cleveland.
I'm leery to give... The Indians have been there for...
The Browns. Look at how big the Browns fan base is.
Football,
and they were ripped out of town. It's no different with baseball.
It's
totally different. The owners are a lot different in the way that they structure things.
The Kansas City A's. But they picked up overnight and left.
There's been situations like that, but since
Milwaukee.
I mean, who was the last major sports team was Seattle Supersonics ripped from their town. And usually that's what it takes. I mean, was there anybody that was coming in and saying, because I don't really remember.
To save them.
And was there anybody coming in and saying, for when the Royals were up for grabs, saying, I'm going to buy this team and I'm going to tear them out of Kansas City? Who was it?
There was other cities trying to get the Royals to come,
Do you know what cities?
There was places like Memphis, and Memphis is always in the hunt for a baseball team. So, there's always teams.
Cities that are interested, but did they have owners that were able to take them there? You know, because that's what you need first. Like,
you've
got to
have somebody who
Kansas City wants
get
a hockey
stadium.
Team. Kansas City wants a basketball team, but we need an owner, and we don't have one. So, as much as we can talk about the Sacramento Kings coming back here,
but
even though that's another example.
If there's no one to
buy
the Kings.
Either way, you know, and you talk about cities being ripped off. Luckily, Al Davis is dead because, you know, he'd still be trying to move them out of Oakland today. You know, he moved them two times.
Yeah.
Yeah, he also moved them back, though. So
that's just because he got another stadium.
Credit where credit is due, I suppose.
I think it's just crazy.
I think there is something to be said for that, but I do think that for the good that he did at keeping it here, what have we really had? You know, he wasn't
baseball.
Responsible for the 1985 World Series. He wasn't responsible for anything other than being able to watch Bo Jackson play some great years and then seeing the early years of Damon, Dye, and Beltran, and then watching him go away. So for me, I don't put him in. And I'm a strong supporter of, yes, he kept baseball in Kansas City. And would we all be different if the Royals didn't exist? Even if another team had come in, maybe we get the Rays here in Kansas City, you know, instead of Tampa Bay getting a team.
Maybe we get the Memphis Chicks.
You know, I'm glad that you brought that up, because I was actually thinking about that the other day. It's like, man, it would really stink if the Royals left. And it's a different situation if the Royals were to leave versus now. They were in a situation where somebody kind of hostile takeover came in and bought them and ripped them from us and we didn't really want it. Because that's what happens in what happened with Cleveland and with Houston. And so the league said to them, we guarantee we'll find you a team. So if I could be guaranteed of that situation and Kansas City leaves, the Royals leave, and then there was another team to come in and maybe, like you said, be like the Rays. I mean, it doesn't even have to
the Rays.
Doesn't even have to be. Yeah, they don't. Well, they don't have
any
support.
That's how we got the Royals.
I made the comment in 2011. If the Rays were here, this town would be nuts.
Well, I've fought for a long time that the Rays and Marlins just go away, go back to 28 teams, give the Rays ownership, you know, sell Kansas City to the Rays ownership, and then, you know, I don't even care if you merge the teams. Of course, you'd want David Price here, but forget that. But just if you got that ownership in here and they turn this around, it'd be 40,000 people every night, period.
That's what I'm saying. You know, even if it doesn't have to be a move, just simply maybe even a start over of some sort. I think that could do the Royals some good. But with that, we're gonna head to break here, and then we'll be back with our final segment here on the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
The Kansas City Baseball Vault will be right back after these messages.
Brand new Royal Stadium in Kansas City's Harry S. Truman Sports Complex is the attractive setting for this year's game. Hosting this all-star occasion are Mr. and Mrs. Ewing Kauffman. And with a stadium record crowd of almost 41,000 streaming in, everything certainly is up to date in Kansas City.
The Vault.
Hey Siri, what's good to listen to tonight?
I have several books on tape. Perhaps one about your drinking problem?
No. What kind of podcasts do you have?
I have an excellent podcast for Royals fans. It's called The Royalman Report.
Oh yeah? What's it about?
It's about everything Royals and Kansas City sports. There's statistics, analysis, and lots of off-topic humor.
Can you tell me where to find it?
No. I'm only a cell phone.
Seriously?
No. I'm just joking. I'm quite the comedian. You can find The Royalman Report at royalmanreport.com or kingsofkauffman.com, or catch the show live, Sundays at 7 p.m.
Thanks, Siri. You're really helpful. Catch The Royalman Report every Sunday night at 7, live on royalmanreport.com or anytime on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
So, a doctor, a lawyer, and Chris gets walk into a bar.
Medical bills can really burn a hole in your pocket. I'm Ray Van Emmon, and I'm here for all of your senior healthcare needs. I'm a senior healthcare specialist, LLC, for Medicare, long-term care, life insurance, and annuities. Call Ray at 913-449-6508. Being a senior healthcare specialist, I'm a licensed insurance company in Kansas and Missouri with professional certifications. I can help you get through your retirement years. Call 913-449-6508 today. I work for you.
Make the game start, Explorer.
And welcome back into our final segment here on the Kansas City Baseball Vault. We'd like to apologize again. We were not able to get a hold of Joe Randa, so he will not be joining us on the show. But we would like to thank him for at least agreeing to be on the show. He's at his son's baseball practice, so I'm sure he's busy with that. So
we've got three big shows left here, so we'll see if we can't get him on again later.
Yeah, we'll see if we can't get him back in a future week here. But right now we're gonna send out our trivia question here for four packs of Kansas City T-Bones tickets to Tuesday, August 14th against the Lincoln Salt Dogs, which you heard me talk about earlier. So here's our question here. In 2005, Joe Randa hit a very famous walk-off home run on opening day for the Cincinnati Reds to beat the New York Mets 7-6 off of Brandon Looper. For T-Bones tickets, tell me the first Kansas City Royal to hit an opening day walk-off home run. Who was the first Kansas City Royal to hit an opening day walk-off home run? I'll give you a hint. You might actually be surprised by this answer.
And the phone number is 913-491-8255. 913-491-8255. If we get more than two winners, I'll throw anybody else into a hat. And I have some extra Royals tickets coming up this season. I'll get you set up with some Royals tickets if we go through the T-Bones tickets.
I think the question at this point is what's more valuable, the Royals tickets or the T-Bones tickets? That's
I don't know.
That's the question.
Free parking?
The Royals are not fun well done.
The Royals are not fun well done, but you know who is fun well done, or at least has been? Much to my chagrin, I believe you and myself, Mr.
Yeah. Engel,
both talked this earlier this season that Luis Mendoza was a waste of a rotation spot.
You guys
and
hate Luis Mendoza.
I egg all over my face right now.
It's not hate. Like, I don't want you hate him to fail.
Yeah, that was rough.
The hype was that, he had this great year in AAA in Omaha, and everybody thought, okay, he's doing something completely revolutionary. He's a brand new pitcher, and he wasn't.
Before you guys go on to defend yourselves, who's the best Royals starting pitcher right now?
It's Luis Mendoza.
Luis Mendoza.
And go on.
And to go on, to piggyback off Michael's point, the issue, I believe, is the idea of what Luis Mendoza is. It's just another retread Royals pitcher who comes in. He's got this hype, this quote-unquote hype of all these of the Royals fans are trying to throw behind him. He's going to be a legitimate cog in this rotation, and he's turned out to be this year.
Yeah.
But he's still got an ERA like 4.7, I believe. 2. Oh, it's 3. Okay, last night it was lower.
Can we just get a pitcher that pitches 7 innings?
Yeah, and he did last
night. He has been doing that.
And he's been going long in the games. And if he's fixed, I haven't looked at his splits, and maybe his last couple of months is lower than a 4.3 ERA. I'm sure that it is.
It has.
So, I mean, he's been doing last 2 months, he's been doing a lot better. Just the idea of this, I mean, he's a 28-year-old guy who's never really had any extended time in the majors, had a great year in AAA last year, not taking anything away from him there. And yet, you know, he's
the pitcher of the year.
Yeah, he was pitcher of the year in the PCL.
He is,
and
he's
a guy that the Royals are. Royals pitcher of the year.
Royals pitcher of the year.
That's not absolutely. That's kind of like saying you're the. I don't know. I'm not going
to
go there.
Here's one thing to think about. If he was so good, granted, we don't have any pitching, so I suppose trading away what little major league pitching you have would probably not be the best idea. But if he was really good, like some people on certain online platforms would like you to believe he is, then he would have been traded. And we would have gotten a couple of AAA guys, you know, for him. But he is what he is.
Here's my point. Maybe they didn't want to trade.
Going into 2011, as a major leaguer, he had an 8.43 ERA. He still had a 4.8 ERA as a minor leaguer in his career, and that was over 1,000 innings. So a lot of people were putting stock into these 150 innings he did at Omaha. And here's the thing. When I look at a pitcher statistically, I want to see how many guys do they strike out per 9 innings? How many people do they walk per 9 innings? How many ground balls do they get? And, you know, if you strike out a lot, you can walk a little bit more. You have some room to play with. If you get a lot of ground balls, you know, if you have one of those elements and you do very well, you can have success. The thing that Luis Mendoza ran into, though, his walks per 9 innings actually went up from his career rate. His strikeouts per 9 innings went down from his career rate. And where he was normally about 55% of his balls in play were ground balls, they were 45% of the time in AAA. So all three of those components went down. He declined in all three of them and yet had his best year as a professional.
And I think that's what you and I were pointing to earlier this year is what this term that
kind of
stat junkies, if you will, call peripherals.
Yeah.
That you have the numbers that jump out at you. You know, if somebody has an ERA below 3, then they're obviously a stud pitcher. But there's some other things that can be indicators of, maybe they're not as good as those numbers show. And that's what we were looking at. And those numbers indicate that Luis Mendoza was not nearly as good as his numbers showed in AAA. And yet he was able to put up, like Michael said, his best season. But
this year, though.
I'm fine in these type of scenarios.
Yeah, I'm fine being wrong.
I'm fine with being wrong about something like this. When I said the player is going to stink, and they come back and do really well.
He does have a 56% ground ball percentage, which is very good. You know, and he's pitched really well since. I think he came in long relief when Danny Duffy left the game, and he's been in the rotation since. And you know, he's been very good. I can't say anything bad about him now. You know,
you're trying.
You know who I want to be wrong about because I said this guy was done. Is Jeremy Jeffers back in the big leagues. I want to be wrong about him, and I want to see him and Herrera come into the game in like back-to-back positions and just light up that overly amped gun at the K and 110-mile-an-hour balls. It's freaking sweet.
Yeah,
I think it'd be fun to put like Everett Tiefert in between them in an appearance.
Yeah, because he throws like 64.
And then guy throwing about 89.
Couldn't you get, a knuckleballer in there and just put him, just sandwich the knuckleballer with 200 mile an hour?
I tell you, the problem with Jeremy is he could, you know, it's like out of Major League. He could throw right at their heads because he has no control, or that's always been his problem, is he has no control. He was closer material is what he was hyped as, and then he lost all control. So maybe we'll see him get his control back, and having fireballers like him and Herrera in the bullpen are going to really help out when Hochaver loads the bases in the fifth inning and you need somebody to get out of it. If you can have somebody like Herrera come in and just shut him down,
he can get a strikeout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's got two great strikeout pitches.
And then still have Jeffers for later. Oh man, that'll be sweet.
Yeah.
And going from people that were hyped and maybe even hoping to live up to the hype, people that were not hyped and have lived up to that. Jeff Francoeur and Yunieski Betancourt. Yeah. I mean, they're still on this team, guys. Francoeur has been sat the last, is it two games or three games?
This
he's
is
been
the fourth
now?
Night off.
So, this is the fourth night off in a row.
He's back tomorrow. Yost has announced that.
Okay.
Been announced by Ned Yost. So.
And, you know, I mean, they're in a situation where he has to clear waivers in order for them to trade him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to, is it $6.5 million, $7.5 million?
$7.5 million
that he's owed next year.
He had made $6 million this year, so there's probably about.
That's not real big money for a lot of teams, you know.
Well, according to the Royals, it is. Not only is it big money, but it's exactly.
It's not
for
big
him.
Money if you're taking Wandy Rodriguez, if you're taking Ryan Dempster.
Exactly.
Know? But if it's Jeff Francoeur who is doing nothing, then, you know, then it's too bad.
But is Francoeur doing any less than Jeremy Guthrie, who I like? I like Guthrie, don't get me wrong. But is he doing any less as an outfielder than Guthrie is doing as a pitcher? And the Royals took on money to bring him on.
No, but the alternative to Jeremy Guthrie was Jonathan Sanchez. Sanchez.
Was nothing, actually, because Sanchez was just going to go away.
Right.
But, I mean, to get something and you know, it cost you an extra $1.5 million, now you actually have something to play with.
Well, they were going to pay Sanchez for absolutely nothing anyway. They took on an extra $1 million.
Yeah, because if he would have gone
that's
away, they still would have been on the hook for his
that's
salary.
That's not the $9 million that Jeff Francoeur still owed from this point on.
Yeah, so
Hosmer's got a free pass this year, too. I mean, well, Francoeur's year is he's probably better having a better year than Hosmer.
Hosmer.
He is. Actually,
everybody's
you know,
having
we
a better
haven't,
year than
done, we haven't done that in a while. We're going
to
get
220-something.
220-something for the Eric Hosmer
nine homers,
batting average watch. Know.
He's batting behind Brian Peña, guys.
I mean, the only thing... Is he? I mean, he has not been good. I'm not trying to make any excuses. 228.
Yeah.
But he's at least kind of leveled out. So he's not dropped any. And he was so atrociously bad. I believe at one point he was in the 160s in that first month of the season. Just really,
it's dismal.
Unusually low. And he's
he's
having a terrible season. His OPS is not even at or his OPS is at six, not even 660. So it is not. A good situation for
but
Eric Hosmer.
Here's a question, though. I mean, earlier in the year, he was stinging everything, and we talked about his batting average on balls in play, and it was in the 160s, which is a ridiculous number. If he had gotten some of those to fall and was hitting like 270 before he started to struggle, you know, whatever slump he's been through that started to, you know, where people started saying he should go to AAA, you know, that would have put his average where it would now be at about 250, which looks a lot better than the 228 that it is.
And
what if he does it next year?
Then you worry.
If he does it next year, then it is an absolute 100% legitimate concern.
Yeah.
But I also think it's funny to look at talk about people getting a free pass and look at Mike Moustakas. I mean, he has his defense has been unbelievable. I mean, you said it before on this show.
Man,
he could
great.
Very well be the best defensive third baseman in the American League, and he's absolutely earned it. So that is obvious. That has increased his value quite a bit. But you look at his numbers, I mean, his batting average is actually worse than it was last year. At this point now in the season,
he's been
it's worse. He's
months.
Been struggling real bad. His on-base percentage is roughly the same. It's only .02 higher, .002 higher. And, I mean, his slugging percentage is quite a bit better because he's got the 16 home runs. But, I mean, you look at that, and is that the level of improvement that you want to see? Obviously... No, it's not necessarily. You know, I mean, there's.
But it looks like improvement to where it was last year.
He does look better. He passes the eye. That's absolutely right, Jeff. The eye test, for whatever that's worth, he looks more comfortable at the plate. You can see the power more.
He's hitting the ball hard.
He's hitting the ball harder.
And last year, he wasn't hitting the ball hard when he was struggling. And even when he was coming back, he was just kind of, you know, thrown it into left field and getting a single, and there wasn't a lot of power there.
I keep hearing the guys talk, you know, on TV, and they're saying, you know, Hosmer's up. Just make contact. Just make contact. And I'm thinking, you know, when you got a guy who's your home run hitter, I don't want him up there trying to slap the ball to left field every time.
I don't care what he's doing if he can hit the ball. I just want him to stop swinging at everything. Yeah. I want him to stop being Jeff Francoeur.
And I also want him to stop being Jeff Francoeur. So on that note, we're going to end this show. I'd like to thank even though we didn't get Joe Rand on the phone, I'd still like to thank him for being a come on. Hopefully we can get him back on later. And I'd like to thank all you guys, Jeff, Troy, Michael. Thanks for having another good show on the Spirited. Kansas City Baseball Vault. And we'll be sure to tune in next week. We'll see you guys all again at 6 o'clock.
And don't forget, this Sunday at 7 p.m., RoyalManReport.com, a former Kansas City radio guy, Mark Carman, joins us and talks about where he's headed next. So join us, RoyalManReport.com, 7 p.m. Sunday.
We'll have some breaking news. And don't tune in an hour earlier as well to hear the Echo Sports Report with me hosting as well, if you can't get enough
Chris
of me
back
hosting.
From a sign.
So, yes, thank you very much.
Go Royals.
KCTE, Independence, Kansas City. This is ESPN 1510.